Well, can we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please? While you're turning to it, could I say there are little cards I picked up over in England, because at the conference they had stalls of various organizations. One was the Trinitarian Bible Society. And so I got some of the Ten Commandments. We've just completed a series on the Lord's Day mornings on the Ten Commandments. There's a larger one and a smaller bookmark. And you take one, use it, remind you of the Ten Commandments. So those are available tonight as you're leaving. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please. And in verse 1, we read these words. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right, at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. With our Bibles open, could we turn to the Lord in prayer, please? Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this tremendous passage of Scripture that focuses our attention upon our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, tonight we pray that we would consider him, that we'd see him in all his glory and all his beauty. We pray the Holy Spirit would enable us to see the Saviour, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. 7 months ago, our presbytery debated a suggestion to have a campaign to give gospel literature into every home in our province. It, of course, was motivated by the fact that this is the 150th anniversary year of the great 1859 revival. Now, that revival, of course, began, as I'm sure you know, four young men praying in a school house up near Kales, near Ballymena. But it can be traced even further back than that, when the Reverend Moore of the church there in Connor said to a few young men in his congregation, "Why don't you do something more for God? Do something more for God. Why don't you get a few of your friends together and pray?" And after some months, there were literally scores of small prayer meetings taking place around that area. And as they say, the rest is history. God moved in, people were converted, the word of God went forth. They estimate 100,000 people in our province came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour that year. There were tremendous changes. A number that was equivalent to half the population of Newton Ards at that time met in the square for a prayer meeting. Up to that time, there was only about 1,200 went to any church in Newton Ards, they say. And yet, more than three times that number, met for special prayer for their loved ones. What a move took place that year of 1859, doing something more for God. So the campaign was launched, and costing probably around about 100,000. Final total hasn't, of course, been arrived at yet. But part of the campaign begins tomorrow. The Mollusc Sorting Office of the Royal Mail has received its 740,000 tracts. I have one of them here. Only got two of them. And we'll give one to young Lookit this morning, so you'll have to wait for yours when you get it through the post. And this is the tract that will go through every home in Northern Ireland during this week. And it'll start, as I say, tomorrow. Now, there will be billboards around the province. There will be two in the Bangor area. I don't have it down here. I had it this morning. But there's two in the Bangor area. There's two in Newton Ards at Regent Street in Newton Ards, and also the Cumber Road. There'll be large billboards. And then there'll also be at some leading shopping centres, you know, where they have these advertisements go round. Shop lights, they're called. There'll also be some there. And our church will have a large banner that we'll put up outside the church, and people, when they see the tract with the logo on it and receive later on another tract that we will distribute around the area. It's a different wording in it, of course, the next tract. And it's written by the Reverend Colin Mercer, who, by the way, tomorrow heads off with his family to Greenville. But we'll have these tracts with the same logo at the front to give out later in the month. There will be regional rallies. A rally in Belfast will take place in the Grove Centre, that's North Belfast, on the 28th. That's the final Friday of this month, and we trust many of you will be able to attend. The concept is to encourage the unsaved to come to that neutral venue, as it were, to come and hear the Word of God. So this campaign takes off tomorrow, and the name of the campaign is Consider Christ. Consider Christ. And it's our prayer, and do pray with us, that people, when they receive this through the door, they'll not just be thrown away, but the 740,000 homes to which this goes, that somebody in that home will pick it up and will take time to read it. And it's tell you about the alphabet of salvation, how we can know the way to heaven. Consider Christ, and then it'll give the key verse of the campaign. Consider Christ, because in a world without direction, Christ is the way. In a world without certainty, Christ is the truth. In a world without hope, Christ is the life. So you can see that this tract is Christ-centered. Christ-centered. It's to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Much literature you get today is all focused on man, his needs. But this is focused upon Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Do pray for this campaign. It's our prayer that the Lord will cause people to consider him. And as I thought about that, I couldn't help but think of the book of Hebrews, where we're told in chapter 12, here in verse 3, consider him. Consider him. Now the word consider has the idea of to take time to observe it carefully and to think about it. Do you remember the Lord used the word of the ravens? He said, consider the ravens. He didn't just mean just look at them. People saw ravens every day. But what he meant was stop, think. Think carefully. They don't sow and they don't reap. And yet the Heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more valuable are you? In other words, to consider means to think about something. To carefully consider it. Of course, today we're often so busy that we don't think. We don't consider. But the whole focus of the campaign is that people will get this tract and they'll see, consider Christ. And they will give time to consider him. You know, of course, another background to our campaign is that over in England, earlier in this year, atheists paid for tracts, or, well, can you call it a tract, for statements on buses saying there is no God, or there probably is no God. Well, that didn't appear in Northern Ireland, so we thought we would have a positive campaign and put the Word of God, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God convicts. The Holy Spirit is pleased to use the Word. And by the way, there will be posters and buses as well. 300 buses will carry the way, the truth, and the life, and will carry Consider Christ for those 3 weeks period. Consider him. Many people don't consider and they miss. I love the story about America. There are very famous forest parks in America. Very famous ones. There's the Yellowstone Park that covers miles and miles. There's one down in California. A very, very famous park down there. And there's an anecdote told about a very old forest ranger. He had worked in the forest park from childhood. They couldn't get him to retire. Even in his 80s, he'd turn up in his park ranger uniform and show people around the park. Massive millions of people would have come and visit us, miles of land, of forests, and so on. And one day, this man in his 80s, who'd spent his life enjoying the beauty of that forest park in California, showing people round. He was standing there with his park ranger uniform, and a lady from the city pulled up in her big Cadillac, and she jumped up and saw him and says, "Oh, come here. What would you do if you've only an hour to see the park? What would you do If you see that you've been here, you'd be like, oh yes, I'm a ranger. Well, tell me, give me advice. What would you do if you'd only an hour to look round? He said, madam, I would sit down on a log and weep. I would sit down on a log and weep if it was only an hour to see the beauty of this park. And you know, isn't it sad that so many men and women and young people are so busy in life, even in Newton Ards here, that they never stop to take time to consider the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The aim of this campaign is to get people to stop and consider, to make it an opportunity for us to personally witness to friends and neighbours when they get the leaflet, to invite them to the meetings, invite them to the rally, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that people would consider him. How do you consider Christ? In the Bible. Well, there are people that you hear, I like to think of Christ as this, or I like to think Jesus as this, or no, it's the Bible reveals Christ. We can't make up a mental picture of Christ that is not true. Paul warned in 2 Corinthians 11, it is, of those who were preaching another Jesus wasn't the Christ of the Bible. We want people to consider Christ as he's revealed in the Bible. And you know what's interesting? Three times in the book of Hebrews there is consider him. Of course, the Father spoke from heaven during Christ's time on earth. And he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. That same thought, isn't it? Listen to him. Consider him. I believe every problem of life can be answered by considering Christ. Every question of life, death, eternity is answered when a person takes time to consider Christ as he is revealed in Scripture. And so it's important to consider Christ. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Why has the Holy Spirit been given? There's those groups that tell you to make us ecstatic and have wonderful experiences. The Holy Spirit's given to exalt Christ. He shall glorify me, the Savior said. We'll know the help of the Holy Spirit, as that's our aim as well, to glorify Christ. Three times in this book, the Hebrew Christians, now remember the background to this book. There were Jewish believers who had been converted. They have lost their friends. Over in chapter 10, 34, it says they had lost their goods. Their goods were spoiled. In other words, they even lost their property and their belongings because they had turned to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because most Jews rejected the belief that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. They had left the great ornate temple worship. In many cases their family and friends had turned against them. And the writer is telling them, keep going. Don't give up. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Consider Christ. Three times. Turn back to chapter 7, verse 4. Let me quickly show you. Three times where Paul, I believe, wrote this, tells us to consider him. Consider him. Chapter 7 is the first one I'll look at. Chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Consider how great this man. You'll see that was is in italics. It's only there to help the flow, because the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't only great, he is great. He's the same yesterday and today forever. Now, we can't get into the whole explanation of the passage, because it's talking about a man in verse 1 called Melchizedek. You might say, well, I thought it was, you're talking about the Savior. Well, that's true. But Melchizedek was an Old Testament character whom Abraham met after a battle. Genesis 14. And this Melchizedek was called the King of Salem. You'll see it there in the same verse 2, first being by interpretation, King of Righteousness. That's what Melchizedek means. You see, Melech is king. The latter part of that, Chizdek, is the word in Hebrew for righteousness. So he's the King of Righteousness. And after that, he was called King of Salem. Salem means peace. Now, does that not remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ? Abraham met a man, and his title was King of Righteousness. King of peace, and he was called the priest of the Most High God. Now, some commentators believe it actually was Christ. appearing in human flesh. Many others will argue and debate and say, no, he was an actual man, but he's a picture. He's a type. Well, I'll leave you for that, you to debate over it. Because that doesn't really affect the point. There's no doubt this, it is a picture of Christ. That's the point that the writer is saying. And he's saying that even Abraham, and Abraham was the great father of the Jews. The Jewish people said, we're of Abraham. He's our father. Think of the great authority that Abraham, we've the authority to be God's people. Because Abraham has the authority. He's such a great man. And the writer is saying, but listen, Jewish Christian, you've come to Christ and your friends are saying you no longer belong to Abraham because you've left the Old Testament Jewish practices. Listen, remember that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Now you give tithes to somebody who's greater. And he said this man was greater than Abraham. And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, consider Christ in his authority. That's the key word we're after. His authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we want people to consider. Jesus Christ is not a mere man. He's Lord. Do you remember when he was born what the angel said? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. After he rose again from the dead in Acts 2:36, Peter was preaching. And he told the people, the one whom you crucified, you rejected just 7 weeks before. 7 weeks before, the crowd had cried out, away with him. Listen, God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified Lord. He's Lord. Well, it's so important to get that across, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the truth that people don't accept. They say, oh yes, there's a man called Jesus lived. But listen, he's Lord. When Peter preached the Jews in Acts 2, and what was his message? Jesus is Lord, the crucified one. He's been exalted. He's Lord. He's over everything. When he preached in Acts 10 to a group of Gentiles, the first time we know of in the record that the Gentiles were actually preached to as a body, Gentile people in the house of Cornelius. What did Peter preach? He is Lord. That's what he told Cornelius and the family. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the message we need to carry out. He has all authority. And that means whatever Jesus Christ says, go. Do you know that Jesus Christ is called Savior in the New Testament only 24 times. We thank God he is the Savior. 24 times. But do you know Jesus Christ is called Lord? What, 433 times? Isn't that amazing? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord and Savior. I'll not go into the whole theological controversy. There's been some years ago and still goes on, sadly, and people talk about lordship salvation. Of course there's lordship. He's Lord. You can't take him as Savior and not as Lord. He's Lord. He's one person. He's Lord. Salvation is trusting him as the one who died on Calvary and realizing that he's Lord of all. And do you know your life would be simplified? And my life would be simplified. If only we would consider that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, Paul summed it up in Acts 9 when he was converted by two great questions. Who art thou, Lord? He's Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary. He's risen again. Who art thou, Lord? That's the great question. Consider him. Who is it? He's Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, not what the others want me to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? Those are the two great questions. That'll simplify your life, won't it? What does the Lord want me to do? He, and of course, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he wants you and calls and commands you to repent and be saved. Now, he is Lord. We want people to consider Christ, consider his authority. It's not a matter of you making Christ Lord of your life. He is Lord. And everybody will recognize that he is Lord. The matter is not if, but when. Will it be in this life voluntarily? Or will it be in eternity, when Philippians 2 says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Consider his authority. Consider his authority. But turn back to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, speaking to believers, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And it goes on to speak about how he was faithful. He was like Moses in verse 3. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. What it's saying here is, the Jewish people looked to Moses, looked to Abraham, but they also looked to Moses. And Moses said over in Deuteronomy, he told the people that one day God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, but greater than me. Greater than me. Now, what was Moses to the children of Israel? He was a redeemer, under God, of course, but he was responsible for delivering them from Egypt, taking them through the wilderness. In fact, if you read Deuteronomy 5 carefully, the people said, Moses, we were afraid to come to God because he was like a consuming fire, but you stood between us. Isn't that a lovely term? Moses, you stood between us and God. And you spoke to us. You spoke to us from God. And you spoke to God for us. That's what you call a mediator. People are saying, we couldn't come before God because we're guilty sinners. But Moses, you were the one who went to God for us. And you brought back the message from God. You remember up 40 days, 40 days, nights in the mount? He was a go-between. A mediator. What a great man Moses was, but he was only a man. Yes, under God, he was given the ability, through God's help, to lead the people out of Egypt towards the promised land. He didn't get them leading them right in. And what's this passage saying? He's saying to these new Christians, listen, you consider you have a Savior far greater than Moses. What's the great needs that we have? The great needs we have is to hear from God and to be able to go to God. That's the great needs we have. We need to hear a word from God and we need a way to God. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He's the one who brings us the truth of who God is. And he's the one who leads us. And you have it both there. The apostle and high priest. What's an apostle? An apostle is the word sent on a mission. Sent on a mission. You carried the news. I suppose postmen could come into that today. You're carrying the news. You're carrying the message. And people are going to carry the message of this leaflet that we're sending. Now that's literally what the word means. To be sent on a mission. To bring a message. To bring the news. Paul said, consider Christ. He's the greatest news bringer. He's been sent by God. He is God. And he's come into the world to bring a word from God. The word that we need. And then it says he's the high priest. The high priest offered the sacrifices that enabled sinners to come before a holy God. So he's a great high priest. Consider his ability. His ability. See, in chapter 2:17, he makes reconciliation, the high priest, for the sins of the people. Go through the book of Hebrews. There's little expressions that occur often. And one of them is, he is able. Chapter 7:25, he's able to save. He's able to succor. He's able to sympathize. He's able. The Lord Jesus Christ's ability. His ability. And thank God his ability to save. And you know what's sad though? The book of Numbers said those who rejected Moses' word, the word that he brought regarding the covenant, those who rejected Moses' position as appointed mediator, they were judged. You know, and sometimes it was dramatic. The earth opening up. taking away Korah, Nathan, and so on, Abiram. Those who rejected Moses' word. Do you know what Hebrews later on in this book says in chapter 10? If those who rejected Moses' word were destroyed, how much sorer punishment than those who've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected the covenant, trampled underfoot the Son of God. Consider him, his ability to save us. Consider his authority. Last one, chapter 12, the one we read at the beginning. This is the third time, and our message in this leaflet that goes out, this tract, is to consider Christ. And Hebrews is saying, consider his authority. He's Lord. Consider his ability. He's the great high priest and apostle. He can bring us to God. He can tell us God's word. Consider his atonement. Consider his atonement. Verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. We need peace. That's what people need. Peace with God. Knowing that our sins are forgiven. Knowing that we're right with him. How do you get that? Consider Christ. Consider Christ on the cross. It says here, he endured the cross. He endured the suffering. There's no one ever lived in this world who deserved suffering less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was sinless. He was innocent. And yet there's no one has ever lived who suffered more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chose to do it, as we thought of the servant this morning. It says here, an interesting text, contradiction of sinners against himself. That simply means he was scorning the shame. They were mocking him, they were attacking him and maligning him and crucifying him. And as verse 2 puts it, he despised the shame. It means that all these sinners, that people he had created, whose breath he held in his power, they were there raging against him as he hung on that cross, as he was scourged there in Pilate's hall and so on. Yet he despised, in other words, he didn't react to the shame. He took it. He didn't retaliate. He was submissive. He was silent. They took the rough nails and nailed the hands and the feet of the one who had created this universe. Nailed them to a tree, piece of wood. And then they lifted that wood up and put it into its socket until his whole body was jarred. And in crucifixion, you can't really breathe. It's a terrible, terrible form of capital punishment. Because you need to lift yourself up to be able to breathe. And every time he lifted himself up to get a breath into his lungs, the ribs are sore, the tendons on the feet, the nails cutting into the legs. You couldn't breathe properly. That's why, of course, with the two thieves who hadn't died, you remember, they broke their legs to speed up the death by suffocation. But the intense agony of crucifixion has been described, the awful pain in the sinews of the body and all through the bodily pain. But then you think of the soul dying. You see, do you know a soul had never really died before on earth? You say, son, what are you talking about? Nobody had ever died. Well, here's what I mean. Oh yes, of course people have died physically. Millions. But when we talk about the death of Christ, we're not just talking about physical death that day. He experienced what it is like for a soul to die. Not talking about the body now. Talking about eternity separated from God and hell. He experienced hell. He experienced what it's like to be separated from God, from his love, from his concern. That's what he experienced. He experienced spiritual death on that cross in those 3 hours of darkness. The furnace of suffering was heated 7 times, the God of Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. No man had ever endured the pain that our Savior endured. And yet, what does it say? in the verse before, looking on to Jesus and so on, the author and finisher of it, who for the joy? Do you know all the time he was suffering agony that no other person had ever suffered? He did it for joy. He had in his mind, this will result in great joy. He's talking about the atonement here. The greatest theme that a person can meditate upon, the atonement that Christ won at Calvary. What's the joy? What is the joy that enabled Christ to suffer? What is the joy that enabled Christ to endure those awful sufferings bodily, spiritually, emotionally, mentally? What was the joy? I'm looking at you tonight. I'm looking at the joy. I can see it tonight. Maybe there's some here tonight you're not seeing. Well, you're excluded. I don't know your heart. What's the joy? The joy is that men and women and young people would feel and know the effects and the blessings of his atoning work. That's the joy. That through his suffering, men and women in Newton Ards and Bangor in this area would come to know their sins forgiven and to have eternal life and to share glory with him for all eternity. That's what the joy is. That's what kept Christ on the cross through the suffering. Oh, thank God for the wonderful atonement. You say, why would Christ think it a joy to save us? I can't understand it. But he loved us. That's the great. Oh, that men would consider this. And then do you notice he sat down, we're told in this passage in verse 2, it's finished. Oh, that men would consider that Christ's atonement is finished. It's done. The men and women would take this leaflet, and maybe if they're able to get the other tract that comes, and by the way, there's 40,000 more tracts have been printed. Some of our brethren will be down at the ploughing match that takes place in Southern Ireland every year, where I'm told 100,000 people gather. The last few years, our church and the men there have put up a large marquee, and they've had tremendous opportunities with Roman Catholics coming in and taking literature and sitting down over a cup of tea and talking about Christ. And they've given out tens of thousands of items of literature, of the Bible and of tracts, and they're going to take 40,000 of these tracts that one of them here down with them. Thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want men and women to consider. Have you considered it tonight? Jesus Christ has all authority. Authority over your life, your eternity, your very breath. He's Lord. He has ability to be the apostle and high priest, to be your high priest, to be the comforter to you, to sympathize with you, to succor you, to save you. Consider his atonement. It's all through what he did on Calvary. Oh, that we'd keep on considering Christ. Let's turn in our hymn book, please.